In the year 1263, there was a priest by the name of Father Peter, a very appropriate name for a priest, but he had doubts in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You know, he struggled to believe that that was truly Jesus Christ, which for a priest is a pretty big deal because your whole vocation, your whole life is centered on the Eucharist. And so if a priest is struggling to believe in the Eucharist, that can be a real problem. And so what he decided to do was to take a pilgrimage to Rome. And on the way, he stopped in the town of Bolsena, which is a town in Italy, and he celebrated Mass there. And as he said the words of consecration with the host in his hand, and as he lifted it up for the elevation, the host began to bleed. And the blood came down from the host down into his hands and dripped on the corporal, which is the linen cloth on top of the altar. He was so overwhelmed by what was going on that he couldn't continue with the Mass. And so he took the Eucharist and he took the corporal, he took him off the altar, and he actually put them in the tabernacle. And he had heard that the Pope was nearby. He was in a town 11 miles away. And so he sent word. The Pope investigated the incident and they declared it to be a Eucharistic miracle. And it was because of this miracle in the year 1263 that the Pope instituted today's feast day, the Feast of Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. To this day, that blood-stained corporal is still kept in the cathedral in the nearby town where the Pope was, Orvieto. And on the Feast of Corpus Christi, they take the corporal out on a procession through town. This was not the first Eucharistic miracle, and it would certainly not be the last Eucharistic miracle, but it was one that was very important, certainly for this priest. And it's a really profound thing that in the midst of his struggles to believe in the real presence, he didn't give up. He still prayed for a deeper faith and he went on a pilgrimage. And it was because he, even though he struggled to believe in it, that he persevered, you know, that the Lord blessed him with this miracle. But it's a miracle that was not just meant for that particular priest. It's a miracle that's meant for all of us. It's a miracle that's given to strengthen the faith of Christians everywhere in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist. You know, it's a sign from God that the Eucharist is not just a symbol. It's not just a reminder to us of what Jesus did at the Last Supper. You know, if it were just bread that symbolized something greater, it wouldn't bleed. Bread does not bleed. Only flesh bleeds. And so it's an indication to us that Jesus Christ is truly present in the Eucharist. You know, the words in today's gospel couldn't be more clear. Jesus says, "My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink." You know, St. Thomas Aquinas said a very poetic but a profound line. He said, "Truth himself speaks truly, or there's nothing true." If we can't believe the words that God himself, truth himself says, then there's nothing we can believe in. But truth himself speaks truly. And what he says is that the Eucharist is truly his body and blood. And he compares it to the manna. When the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years back in the Old Testament during the Exodus, there were 600,000 men plus women and children. So there were over 2 million people. You know, what do 2 million plus people eat when they're in the middle of the desert? There's no food. What they ate was this miraculous bread. They called it manna, which means what is it? That appeared every morning. It appeared across the ground, and they would go and they would collect this miraculous bread, and that's what they eat, what they ate. And that was the food that sustained huge numbers of people for 40 years in the desert. And what Jesus says, he says, unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, because all of those people eventually died. But he says, whoever eats this bread will live forever. He promises us something that's greater than the manna that the Israelites ate in the desert. If the Eucharist were just a symbol, it would just be a piece of bread. There's no way that it would give us eternal life. And so Jesus is very clear that he's giving us something greater than the manna in the desert. You know, what makes the Eucharist challenging to believe in? Because there's a lot of people that don't believe in the Eucharist. Obviously, if God wanted to, he could change bread and wine into his own body and blood. He brought all of the universe into existence out of nothing. And if he can bring us into existence, he can change one thing into another. And so clearly God has the power to change bread and wine into his own body and blood. But why would he do that? What would be the purpose? And I think that's part of the challenge that people have in believing in the Eucharist. A lot of people, I think, do not have any concept of the intensity of God's love for them. God loves each and every one of us with such an intensity that he desires to be with us. And I think a lot of people don't even have any concept of that in their mind. It was that same love that led Jesus to the cross. He gave his life. He accepted a brutal crucifixion and death for our sake. And he longs to be with us. The very last thing that he promised before he ascended into heaven is, "Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The reason why Jesus Christ comes to us in the Eucharist is because his love for us is so great that even the distance between heaven and earth isn't an obstacle to him. He comes to us in the Eucharist because he desires to be with us. He desires that intimacy with us. And in order to understand the reality of the Eucharist, we have to understand the intensity of God's love for us. You know, one of the ways in which we know that the Eucharist is present in a church, especially if we're new to a church, is there's a candle burning. There's always a candle burning in the sanctuary as a sign of Christ's presence. And part of that is that it's Christ is the light of the world. And so the candle burns, symbolizing the presence of Jesus Christ. But I think we can also see in that candle that burns the love that Jesus has, which burns with the intensity of fire. Our Lord is on fire with love for us. He desires to be with us so passionately that he descends from heaven and he waits for us in a tabernacle, hoping that we'll come and visit him. You know, when we go about our daily responsibilities, when we're eating breakfast or we're eating lunch or we're going grocery shopping, Jesus Christ is present, burning with love for us, desiring that we come and visit him. When we go to school, when we go to work, when we're at home watching TV, Jesus Christ is present in the tabernacle with his heart burning with a fire of love for each one of us, waiting for that we would come and visit him. He has been waiting for us for 2 centuries in the tabernacle. And he is humble. He doesn't come to us in majesty and glory, you know, with clouds of thunder and a pillar of fire coming from the heavens. He waits for us in humility, under the appearance of bread and wine. People can ignore him. They can forget about him. They can disregard his presence. You know, he can be insulted in so many different ways, but he waits there humbly. And he waits there because he's waiting for our love. That reveals a lot to us about the humility of God and what he desires from each one of us. And so a good question for us to ask is, do we truly believe the words that Jesus says, that this is truly his body and blood? Not just an intellectual act of belief, but a belief that's so deep that it changes our behavior, that we say, "Yes, Lord, you love me with a fire of love. I desire to be in your presence. I'm going to come to you." We're celebrating 40 hours of Eucharistic adoration, and we're going to end Mass by going directly into Eucharistic adoration. That's an opportunity for us to say yes and to reciprocate the love that Jesus Christ shows for us. We can never love him as greatly as he loves us, but we can say yes to his love. And we can offer his heart, our own hearts to him. And so I encourage each one of us to spend a few minutes after Mass in the silence of prayer, knowing that our Lord has been waiting for us, that he is yearning for us, and to show him our love, our worship, and our adoration in response.